as you know, and that is has to do with, you know, I talked to us about the being in the flow. Each service that we come into has a flow to it. It's up to the individual to find that flow. It's not up to the leader, or Karen, or to the song leader. It's up to each individual to find where do I fit in this flow and flow with whatever it is so you can eat. That's the way that you do it. I loved my lady's word.
Oh my God.
She will never live it down.
I thought it was cute.
I got poked at John and he didn't have like his fanny thing to me. I thought that is so perfect. Only God can do that. And of course, our moon is in Capricorn, which cools us off, and that's a good thing because we're about to go into an Aquarius moon, unless I have that confused. Okay. I've been looking at a scripture that I felt like, well, I didn't get finished this last week, and I think I will because I feel like it's important to us. In Psalms 24, I told you I had a fifth grade teacher that taught us to memorize scripture. And it's a beautiful thing. In my life, it proved very fruitful. I don't know any of the other kids anymore, so I don't know what happened with them in my class. I just remember her and the sweet way that she did it. It wasn't like it was. I think we learned on our own time and space kind of thing, which was good. And Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I guess that's what takes my attention. Well, what does that mean, the fullness of the earth? So that took me back to Psalms where it said the earth was, God created the heavens and the earth became empty and void. And I thought about us as people, individuals, as we're born and begin to find out that we're growing, that we're children. And we all have different kinds of experiences as children. And to me, that's very interesting. But what do we bring to the table? What do we create out of our childhood? How do we fill up our earth? Because I think that's up to us to make our earth full and wonderful. We have a lot to say about that. I thought it was so sweet of Beverly to sing God Walks the Dark Hills. It's one of my old favorite country songs. Had you heard it before? Well, we'll have to get you a tape of it because that's beautiful. Did Kitty Wells sing it?
I believe it was, the ones that, the big heavy people.
Bestel.
Bestel.
The Goodman.
Yeah, Bestel Goodman. Yeah, I think she sang it.
Oh, I've heard her sing it. She always sang it to the top of her lungs, yeah. But it seems like it was a country song.
Not again.
So we'll look it up on the computer. But
Kitty Wells would be that time frame for Kitty Wells.
Or Gene Shepherd.
Yeah.
Y'all probably don't know who we're talking about, unless you're country. anyway, so I thought about this word fullness and the word emptiness. And then I thought of the people I knew and where we each are in our growth, because y'all are my family. And I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my friends. I'm proud of my husband. And proud of what we stand for. We're not spiritual gurus, any of us. And we've never aspired to be. That's not where I want to go. I just want to be an everyday person. I don't want to leave a legend or be an icon. I just kind of like it like it is. You know, my friends and my family. I don't think God ever meant for us to come here to be gods again. We have had to learn not to be God. Because in those realms, we were God completely. And we chose, because we needed to, put on humanity, not just for us, but for each other, because we affect each other. So how do we wear this beautiful humanity? How do we affect each man that comes in our life? And, I think about the times when I don't do well with who might come into my life at the wrong time. When got my dander up. And so I always think about that later, how I might have affected that person in such a negative way instead of showing him how beautiful humanity really is, or her, because I feel like we have everything to say about our earth, what we fill it up with. I can plant flowers, I can create something harmonious. I can make an ambiance. All of my life, I've wanted to burn candles. Make pretty smells, make things more beautiful for not just myself, but my home, or my friends, and I've chose friends like that too, that won't handle things that smell good, and to create a truly loving atmosphere in what's about us. So I think we have lots to say about that. We can make it cursive. And I think about those words too, just like everybody else. Oh, bad word, I can think of one. So I think Father sends us to fill it up. But with a sincerity and an honesty. And not something superficial. I don't think he's interested in anything that just purely surface. It's got to be a deep dealing that goes to the beyond the bone,
yes.
Beyond the ancestry, into something that is so. I can't think of a word. I don't know words because the English traps us. But it's just fulfilling for us to be where we are this morning. That's fulfilling to me.
It's like the deep calling into the deep.
Yes. It paints such a holy picture. And if there were never anything else but this, I'll take it. You hear me? I'm bought and sold right here. Because it's awesome what we've created.
and not because we were trying to create something that was to, don't like comparisons or competition. You know, other families will tell you how bad they got it and all this stuff. And listen, they wouldn't want to trade places with us. We've all had our share of things, and those families have too, if they're honest, you know. But I just am thankful to be who I am, and what I'm not. I have to love my am nots as well as I love my ams.
That's the best thing, is you don't have to.
No.
You don't have to be what you're not. And I'm one of that. And I've always been what people perceive me to be or try to be. I don't have to be. I can just be who I am. And I can, and in ministry, when you begin to minister to other people, you begin to say, who am I in this ministry? Where do I fit in this group, in this body? And begin to say, this is my place, and nobody will take it from me. Nobody will be able to say to me because of a doctrine or a self-righteousness that I can't do that, because that's what God puts in my heart to do. And I feel like, you know, that's a great liberty to be able to take that spot and say, this is mine. It's mine. It's so wonderful. Thank you for giving it to me, because I couldn't acquire it on my own. I learned to play the piano from a school kid. I don't know anything about the piano. I can't read the notes. I can read the guitar chords. And then I just, you know, it's like, that's a beautiful place for me, even though sometimes I, you know, I'm not well practiced and that kind of thing. But I don't care, because we'll get through it. You know, we'll get through it. And it'll be there for us. Someday it'll be wonderful.
Well, we've had the grace. I mean,
we have to see beyond it.
Yes, you have to see beyond it.
Well, I think it creates a closeness, because we had, like you said before, we had so, I just think it does for me. You know, I wouldn't have ever thought I'd be sitting up here with Karen singing. It was, you know, the last thing I...
Nor did Karen.
But, I mean, I found myself really enjoying it. If I wanted to be honest, it was something I really thought about afterwards, and I thought, you know, that was kind of fun. It might not sound like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but, you know, it's putting forth the effort, you know, it's putting forth the effort and finding that your place.
It's the fruit of your heart. It's the thing you want to do.
Where you fit.
I mean, I think there's angels singing among us. I really do.
Well,
we hear, if we're really a part of what is going on, we're seeing beyond the surface. And that's surface. Mm-hmm. Me singing, her playing the piano, that's surface stuff. Mm-hmm. We have to see beyond that and see the chorus of beauty and heavenly voices.
Well, it's relationship.
Joining in with us. Yeah. We got to have the ear to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I really don't think God cares.
No, I don't. That's just very not unimportant.
We have our Jackie Bancos and
beautiful things, all kinds of beautiful
things. We have those beautiful things to listen to look at, to and compare with if you want to. But I'm just not into comparison.
And I'm not looking at what we are not either.
No.
Oh, no.
The focus cannot be that.
Anyway, this song goes into it, and I love this part. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You notice it doesn't talk about the emptiness. So I guess, like I said, that's for mankind to choose his own emptiness, his uncreative process, if he does, or the negative things. But when man chooses that, God doesn't leave it alone, because the scripture says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over this deep abyss that was empty and void. He wouldn't leave it be, but he breathed on that. And I thought, how benevolent can you be of that kind of a father that would say, I don't care if it's void, I don't care if it's empty, I don't care if it's useless, I'm still the father of it, I'm still the mother of it. That's what I want to say to a lot of mothers, you know, that want their children to be this and that, and don't we all? I mean, but what if they're not? What if you're giving children that are not those things that you want them to be? You still rejoice in the fact that you've been given a child and been given the stewardship to tend, to be a part of the negative and the positive. You know, it's not a big deal. It's how you play the game. Just play it with your heart. I know when I play games, I don't care if I win or lose, and that's the truth. I'm not a game player. If I lose, I lose. Who cares at the game? What will it matter in 5 years? I mean, what will it matter tomorrow? So, I just don't get it when people are competitive. It's okay, but if you want to be competitive, I think that's okay too. But if you don't want to be, that's cool too. You know, and somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. If God wants to pick a loser, I'll be your loser tonight, Lord. I don't mind. I've lost so much that I know how to lose, at least.
Champion loser.
When you look at your offspring, you see that reflection of yourself in it. And I think the offspring sometimes comes into the world as a disabled person. And you cannot change that. You can hope, you can struggle, you can wish, you can do many things, but the thing you need to do is to find that thing in that one you can love, and find that place where they can love you back, and create that relationship that the Father creates with us. Because we're not all pretty, we're not all Einsteins. Some of us are disabled in different ways. I'm dyslexic myself. You know, but I look at my son, who is a disabled person, and I have found something in him that is wonderful, that I can love, and that he loves me back now. We have a relationship that's very different. He calls me every day at 8:45, every day. When he's out of minutes, he texts me. So, I mean, that thing that's beautiful, you have to reach out for that thing and not expect someone to be what you think you are or be like you, because everybody has their own journey and their own thing to deal with on top of it, you know. And I think that's so important, like you said, to find a way. Father broods over our hearts and in our lives and tries to love us enough that we'll come around eventually, and that's what you have to do with physical relationships, mental relationships in this life, you know. You have to be like him. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like me. I think it's a pretty thing, like you said, Tommy.
Well, it's up to us to build relationships. And to me, relationship is the biggest word in spirituality. It's once you build a relationship with. Well, some of us were so exposed to the church thing that we know that was not what we wanted. I mean, I could play that game. I didn't do it very well because I never fit
you know, in it. But I did try to play that game. It just didn't work for Johnny and I. So thank God it didn't, because it loosed us from a lot of bonds.
Didn't work for me either.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Well, it didn't work for you ever, I'm afraid. You got here with something that some people don't get here with.
Yeah.
A lot of people just don't. Anyway.
Even as a small child, blatant hypocrisy and their inability to answer simple questions.
Well, you did that at Church of God.
Irritated me.
Yeah.
So. I remember I couldn't answer your questions either, though that was the problem.
Well, at least, you know, you would try to answer the question and you weren't dismissive. And you didn't, you know, the church people, I got the feeling that they were like, you know, who are you and why are you asking these questions? You know, I mean...
Yeah, they even said that to me about where did he come from. Well, anyway.
Outer space.
I am under the rock.
Well, the beauty of it is that we had been in home worships and we came out of that because we didn't have any more home worship, and started going to this Oak Ridge Church of God. And the first time we went was a Wednesday night, so Morgan was taken into a classroom somewhere with teachers that I didn't know, and when we came back up to the congregation to sit, he came up front and sat with me, and his two teachers sat behind me, but I didn't know this. But I heard one say to the other, "That little boy, did you hear what he said about the cow, the hog? He that parteth the hoof and cheweth not the cud." What was the scripture?
It was about the Hebrew dietary.
Yeah, well, he taught them that. The lady said he taught us this tonight in church. And I thought, oh my God, Morgan. Because we had taught him that scripture, you know. Don Cooley had taught us that. He that parteth the hoof and cheweth not the cud is not clean. So he had taught that night in that church. He was 8 years old. They were sitting behind me talking about this little boy. Oh, my God, what dumb. Anyway, that was his way there. The scripture says, "For the world and they that dwell, the fullness and the world and they that dwell therein. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." And this is the scripture I like. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who is able to stand in his holy place?" And to me, that holy place is that place all of us go inside of us before we can share with anybody else. There's such a beautiful labor that's always there. That labor is not something outside of you that sits in that tabernacle, but it's inside of you. It's the washing of the water by the word that where you take a look, you look into the word, the perfect law of liberty. It's not ink on paper, it's in here. It's right here in your heart, and you clean yourself up with that beautiful water. You wash your hands and your feet
And then you can stand in the holy place because you're clean. And you can stand there for other people too. We had a situation here. Was it last weekend Ryan was here? Yes. Ryan was in the midst of a job situation, Ryan being Rachel's significant other. And I watched God prepare Johnny's heart to put words in Ryan's mouth. I don't know if Johnny was aware, but it was Holy Spirit that told him what to say to Ryan to redeem him and save him for the rest of his life. Just a little phrase or two. So before they got here, I prayed. I said, Lord, please let there be a minute where Johnny can draw Ryan aside and give him this instruction, because it will be for his lifetime. And he was able to do that. And we watched it unfold while he was here. Johnny gave him the word. He did what Johnny said. He redeemed himself, and he was hired on a new job before he left my house. God did that. God did that in this house within a 30-minute hour period. You only had to be here to see it unfold. How he just takes us and uses us. Johnny didn't jump up and down and speak in tongues or get on his face and grovel. He doesn't do that. If you're looking for it, forget it. It's not going to happen. But his heart was prepared. Anyway. To tell this kid what to say and to cause him to take a different direction in his life that would always protect him. Because what was going to happen to him would have been on his record, his job record anyway, for the rest of his life. But he avoided that, because he had an ear to hear. Why? Because there's a wisdom in us old folks, believe it or not. We have just a little bit. So just, you know, you can watch God unfold in your life. I mean, look at the different lives in my family. We've just seen beautiful, beautiful things. I mean, Karen just had a grandson that married a girl in where? Brazil?
Yes.
Can you believe this? I mean, Tommy has the gift of the Holy Spirit within him, and God's sending him to another country to spread that around and some of her family and redeem that girl. Don't tell me God's not working in our families. It doesn't look like what you and I would interpret. But take a look at it. Look at Liz. Where was Liz a year ago? Where was Liz 2 years ago? Think about this. Where was this girl? And him. And her, all of us could say this. So we've watched things unfold in lives that it's unspeakable to me. It wouldn't be unspeakable to some people, but they're not in my space, and it's not their story. When it's your story, it's pretty personal and pretty wonderful. So who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath a clean hands stood before that laborer. Just say, Lord, I don't want any of my dirt on this. I mean, that would stand there with you, that stuff they give you today, what is it? The desanitizer.
Hand sanitizer.
Oh my God. So if you got that kind of priest, okay, they can stand there with a hand sanitizer and we'll use it. Be okay with me. But,
oh. Oh, the thing about lying, these same people that were going to fire him, when he asked for his either release or resignation, they wanted to hire him to go somewhere else.
He did that.
But he had already made arrangements, and he ended up with a better job, more money, and less responsibility.
Wow. That's always good.
Is it still going to be in Louisiana?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, in a house and
feed. He's going to take care of the over here.
You know, oh, okay. He has to go through a little hell, you know, go down to Louisiana. But that's his hope.
Our grandson will be an LSU fan too, unfortunately.
He'll be a coon ass.
Yeah. Well, French one.
Well, at least it wasn't Alabama.
Had anything to do with me talking to him. I have no idea. But he was really in a wad, and I understand that. I mean, you're talking about your life, you know. Sometimes when work things don't work out, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it just worked out great. I don't, you know. And I appreciate it. I know he does, and I know Ray does. And, you know, it's good for everybody.
Except for them being away. I mean, it's she got the. I was telling Liz yesterday, I said, I know Rachel did not have any forethought of this, but she got the white picket fence, the whole shebang. I mean, I don't know that it's something she ever just really thought of wanting to do, but that's what's happened
did
here.
Did they get there okay?
We haven't heard anything. I'm sure that they did.
This morning, a picture of the baby.
Oh, yeah, I saw the baby. She was all bundled up.
And they were there.
There's one thing about being in Louisiana, it's not Mississippi.
That's right. And it's not Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it may just be for a time, you know. They may end up staying there. I mean, I don't know. See what.
Oh, no, but
yeah. All the things are provided.
Is this the situation
like the
that
house,
we have
happened
that we
house,
came
you know?
Out is great.
That's yeah. All yeah. Beautiful.
All the things that came out after that just fit. It just fit. It just yeah. All.
And you see God moving ahead of you, and as He prepares the way, it's like you're just walking in it. Like it's already prepared. You just step into it.
Right, from that one step.
Yeah.
Everything
today.
That me was going. Gotcha.
Well, I think it worked out the best. I mean, I'm sure he felt this way too. You know, I wouldn't want to work for the same company. But
different franchise.
Did
different
me that.
Owners.
Well, the one in Louisiana is.
Yeah.
Right.
No, he wasn't going. He was going down there, but I just said that because that showed him
there were more opportunities out there.
That they thought more highly of him, and that it wasn't true really about him. It was
right.
About the situation, mm-hmm. And that corporations throw you under the wheel sometimes. Way it works. But he didn't get thrown, and they let him know that he was worth something. And I don't know that anything else would have happened. They may have been planning to hand him that or offer him that instead of what he had. That may have been their plan all along. Very possible that was their plan, you know, to satisfy
both sides.
Parties. But anyway, it worked out great for him, and I hope it's great for Rachel and the baby. That's in the next chapter.
Well,
ever evolving.
They had a. We're moving her mother-in-law on the empty three-bedroom house that they were moving into. So that's what Terry was talking about, the white picket fence. And an acre of land for the baby to play on with alligators and most.
It's fenced in the back.
Anyway, that's just a true to life story that happened in this house. And the other stories, you know, you watch things unfold. Sometimes you take a horror story and it just turns into a beautiful thing. We've been praying for Karen's Christine. She has an excellent job, a job she probably never dreamed she would have. And things are just working out beautifully for her. Though for a good while, it looked hard.
She had a year of everything just going from bad to worse and worser. No such word, but that's exactly what happened. And now she's been hired. She'd been hired at a steak restaurant, a really nice restaurant, as a bar manager, and they decided they liked her so much she made the manager. She's being trained to be the manager. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It just got gone before you, and you just have to hang in there and have faith. Like you have to hang in there and know that He is working things out. It may not be in your time or your pleasure, but just hang in there, because you just have to believe. He's going to reward you for your faith. He will. I know that He does.
I feel like Rachel's right where she's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. The Lord brought me that little, I don't know if it was a poem or something, that reminded me that she was a flower standing by the gate and opening the gate for believers to come in.
She's a good mother, and when all this began to unfold, she lifted her hands and said, "Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus."
Yeah.
Of course, Ryan wasn't in the room, but he's not quite there yet. But
it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
As you were talking about, that just came to my memory, and I just felt like such peace that she's right where she's supposed to be. Yeah.
Things work out that way. Anyway, this psalm goes on and it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates." So that makes me know that sometimes we're a gate for people. So it's important for us how we present ourselves and how we really are. It's not like we're going to put on be on a stage. I don't mean that, because we're on the stage of life every day. But it is about the air we create around us. It can be receptive and full of love and in a giving sense, where people can feel that. I don't want people to walk by me and feel like I'm cold or would it help them in some way, or that I would shun them. So I pray that when, you know, I'm not asking for recognition, but I had I guess she was a Muslim lady, because she had on all the garb, walked by me in Walmart, and she said, "Namaste." And it just brought tears to my eyes, because she didn't know me from anybody. And they're a very different persuasion than us. But she could feel from me, and I could feel from her, the oneness and the acceptance. It didn't matter what. And you don't have to be a holy something for that to happen. I mean, I don't walk around and get holy written on my forehead or anything. So to me, it's a beautiful thing.
I see it in Knoxville. I had an experience last week, and it's just a small thing. But, you know, I notice I try to smile at people, you know, when I make eye contact with them. And it's funny how they respond to you. I mean, they don't always smile back, but they do double take looking at you. But thinking about it, you know.
Don't you feel better when someone smiles at you? A stranger? I mean,
it
happened to me yesterday. Goes with the sunshine. Yeah, and I thought, for several minutes afterwards, I thought, how good I felt just from that.
Yes. It does make a difference when they smile.
I mean, if they don't smile, it's fine, but it's funny how, if they don't, they'll do like this again. They're back looking at you. Well, is she crazy or what, you know?
Well, they had something on Facebook or somewhere I read where they wanted to start something going nationwide that people would actually smile.
Yeah.
See what happens when you walk around smiling at people and the effect that can have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they turned their heater off. Because somebody got hot.
Yeah.
I won't keep going. I was going to share something else because all week long I kept hearing that scripture, except the Lord build a house. They that labor in vain. And that's when I just began to think, Lord, am I letting you really build that house? Because when it goes back to the word build, it goes back to the word bend. Except the Son. The Son of God that you are, build your house. You're laboring in vain. It's wasted. It'll be an empty house. So I said, Father, please, let that Son seed in me build whatever is around me. I mean, we're 75 years old. I ain't got much time. You better hear up. Because we don't know how much longer we're going to be around here.
Right.
But I do appreciate what God's doing, what He's done. It's beautiful on many sides. I couldn't say enough about my family. I know that I've found in the past few weeks I'm not ready to leave. And
good.
Not be a part.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
I want to be here to be a part, if I'm supposed to be, and share as much as I can in the finishing raising of our family. I mean, I think we got the children raised and the grandchildren. Now we got great-grandchildren. I'm going, oh my goodness, never end. You know? They're always abounding. Thank you for listening.